Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's June 18th, 2013. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Hey, we had a great weekend in New York. Savor the Flavor, Savor Craft Beer, the great beer and food pairing event was here. And I led a seminar about the collaboration beer. And I got to sit with Phil Leinhart from Omegang, Rich Michaels from FX Matt, and Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn Brewery. And our buddies... Squigs and Jimmy from the Happy Hour guys are in the studio, and
they
brought us a bottle of that. All right. Welcome on, and thanks to our sponsors, GreatBrewers.com. Really appreciate your support. And go there and learn more about beer and where to buy it and everything else. We also have BR Roya from Shelton Brothers. She's going to talk a little bit about the festival this weekend in Portland, Maine, and about the brewery Mars from Bamberg. And a special guest we'll introduce a little later from Brazil, a Brazilian home brewer. What's your name, buddy?
Hi, Pedro.
Pedro from Brazil. So we got a full studio tonight, and Bill Herlico from White Birch in New Hampshire is going to call in. So, cool. Jimmy from the Happy Hour guys, what have you guys been doing? I haven't seen you since like last year.
Hey, man, we've been super busy. First of all, thanks for having us back on the show. We're really happy to be here. We've been crazy busy. Lots of good things going on. We've been shooting a lot of episodes. We just crested the 250 video episodes this year over the life of the show. And we got this big thing coming up. We're going to do a craft beer tour for Bagger Dave's, which is a restaurant chain that's owned by Buffalo Wild Wings. You ever heard of those guys, Buffalo Wild Wings? They're a little
haven't, but I'm
trying to little place.
But what state are these guys in?
Well, these guys are based in Michigan and Indiana, and they've asked us to come out and do 10 events that are sort of connected to their stores, and we're going to be hitting 10 breweries along the way in Michigan. And as you know, Michigan's a huge state for beer, so we're going to be hitting Atwater Brewing, Schwartz, Arbor Brewing, New Holland, Brewery Vivant, Bell's, Arcadia, Dark Horse, and then down in Indiana, we're going to hit Sun King and Upland, and we're going to be shooting episodes at every single one of those places.
Wow, well, cheers to you guys. Let's thanks, cheers, man, to the Savor beer.
Yes.
And thanks to everybody. And Squigs, you're in the house.
Howdy.
You know, you're a happy hour guy, and you're a Broadway illustrator.
That I am, yeah.
And you actually branched out. You made the label for a beer recently.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I worked with the guys at Barrier Brewing on their Zythosaurus, a limited release bottle from the available at the brewery and a few other places around town. But yeah, we called Zythosaurus, so we created a big Greek dinosaur throwing a lightning bolt and wearing a toga. And then also I did their Morticia, their Imperial Stout, aged with maple syrup, and we made a tall live Morticia hanging out in a graveyard. So yeah.
Rock on, man.
Hey, man. Oh, before we go, I just wanted to say one thing about the tour. If people are interested in Michigan and Indiana, we're going to be doing events and giveaways all the way along. Tickets for beer festivals, all kind of stuff. It's BaggerDavesBeerTour.com.
Why don't you call in from some of those events?
Sure. We'd love to.
We could do the giveaways on there. In fact, last week, we started doing giveaways. Our buddy Matt Schlecht, he won the T-shirt giveaway, the I Like Beer T-shirt. And he's also getting married this week. So, Matt, cheers to you, buddy.
Congratulations, yeah. Matt. I know how you feel. Yeah. I just got engaged a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Mr. Ludwig, yeah. Going to get hitched.
Thank God she likes beer.
Whew. Yeah, she does. Yeah.
So you guys are touring the country. You're checking out beers. I mean, outside of Michigan and Indiana, what are some of the other favorite beer places you've been to?
Wow. That's. I mean, the list is endless because craft beer is just going so crazy in the States right now. I mean, in New York, we're big fans, obviously, of... Actually, Peekskill is one of our new favorites. We love those guys.
Right.
Just up the road. Yeah, Squigs is there a couple times a week. He jumps on the
Not
train.
That often. Once every other week, maybe. Or, okay, every week.
I'll get tweets or pictures from Squigs, and it'll be just a picture of the Hudson River going by a train. And
yep.
I'll text him back on Peekskill.
Yep.
Yeah,
Peekskill. Yep. Peekskill. Enjoying a little Eastern Standard IPA right now,
yes,
in the studio.
Very nice.
It is. Cheers to Jeff O'Neill.
Yeah.
And he's going to be at the end of July. We'll start pitching this one. July 30th. He's going to do a beer dinner at Jimmy's Number 43 with Jeff, and he's going to come on the show. And it's first time we'll have interviewed him since he's opened the new brewery. It's going to be a great show.
It's a shame that guy can't make beer.
Oh, man. Really. And it's a gorgeous place.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
You really
beautiful.
Put together a great spot up there.
Really lovely.
Well, cheers to everybody. And hey, talking about festivals and things, B.R. Roy is here from Shelton Brothers. So the festival's coming up this weekend in Portland, Maine. Are you guys going?
No, I'm going to have to miss this one. I went last year when it was, where was it last year?
It was in Worcester, Mass.
Worcester, Mass. That's it was right. Fantastic. I'll let B.R. talk about it. And then I'll weigh in because I had a great, great time. Go ahead, B.R.
Yeah, well, we're having the festival again. It's a festival of small brewers, cider makers, and mead makers up in Portland, Maine. Friday night was one session, and then there's I believe the daytime session on Saturday is sold out, but there's still tickets for the Saturday night session. And essentially the prerequisite for attending the festival as a brewery is that the brewer actually has to be there pouring the beer. Well, in Maine, they legally can't pour the beer, but the brewer will be there talking about the beer that they've made. And it's really a great way for people to come and just, interact with the brewers. And the brewers love it as well because they're able to talk with their peers as opposed, it's not just people come up saying to you, what's your lightest beer? What's your strongest beer? What's your favorite beer? Then they're sending us a lot of special things for the festival that either going to be debuting there or one-time only releases.
So who are some of the brewers and the breweries that represent that will be there? Because this is like the all-star
I think
list.
We've got about like 70. We're doing it in conjunction with 12% Imports, and there's about 70 who are going to be there from all around the world. We've got, brought some of the beers from Mars. We're doing the Mars tasting tonight. Unfortunately, Stefan couldn't make it tonight. His father is ill right now. But, tomorrow night, we've got a guy from Renaissance Brewing in New Zealand. It's their debut. It's Spuyten Duyvold. He's going to be at the festival. Of course, Jean Vanois from Cantillon. Mikkel from Mikkeler. We got just...
His name's really Mikkel?
His name is Mikkel. That's where the brewery name comes from.
And they're all going to be there pouring
Yeah, and
the
we've
beers.
Got Armand from Dre Fontainen. I brought the beer Sablonde. Yeah, they're all going to be there in Portland.
That's awesome. Wow.
I do like the beers. Well, let's just take a step back. What do you guys think of the Savor collaboration beer? So it was Brewery Omegang, Brooklyn Brewery, and FX Matt / Saranac.
And it's a white... What's the style? It is a white lager brewed with honey and spices.
I think it's pretty good. I mean, collaboration beers are, they can be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of great collaboration beers out there, but I always get worried when I hear about a collaboration beer because I think what if somebody dropped the ball in between? You know what I mean? It's like there's a lot more people, a lot more cooks in the kitchen, to say that, least.
Right, right.
So, but I don't know. This is a very good beer. It's kind of dry on the palate. I like it. Finishes clean.
Yeah, it's not overly spiced. You can detect the spices, but it's not like hitting you over the head with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy it.
And beer for the festival in Maine.
Yes.
Did you guys do any kind of collaborations? Or your brewers are already doing that.
Are already doing collaborations. One that I can think of off the top of my head is the Page 24 from France. Did a rhubarb IPA in collaboration with Njugnu from Norway. Shuttle came down to northern France. To brew, so that's one I can just think of offhand just because I
did you say order. Rhubarb IPA?
Rhubarb IPA.
That flew by me and then came back and slapped me in the back of the head.
Like, wait a minute, let me go out back and see what's growing in the backyard. Oh!
Rhubarb.
I'm told it's very refreshing. I've yet to have it. I'll have it for the first time this weekend, yeah.
No, I love just non-traditional ingredients.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I love that in craft beer there are no rules. I love that.
Yeah.
Me too. Well, I'm going to say these names because I love them. You got De La Seine, Cantillon, Duranky. I love Duranky. The XX Bitter.
You're going to have the Triple X Bitter.
The Guldenberg Triple. Those are two of my favorite beers. So you're saying they're even... So these guys are limited to begin with, and I can hardly get any of their beers at all. And whenever I do, I love them. So you're saying they have even more special selections.
Yeah, like I say, the Triple X XXX Bitter that's going to be even hoppier from Duranc is going to be there.
Good God.
And then a lot of our brewers are actually staying. They've either come earlier or staying later to brew collaborations in the U.S. So that'll be a lot of that going on.
That makes sense.
In a couple months, they'll have releases.
So how do you guys coordinate this? I mean, I understand like maybe doing a festival like Savor in the United States with the Brewers Association, and that's like an annual event. But this is like you've got people coming from how many different countries, and your beer, you already have the beer in states, or are they shipping it just for the event?
A lot of it was shipped just for the event. So, we've been getting container loads coming into our warehouse. I think up until about last week or just a few days ago, it's been, thankfully, our offices are up in Massachusetts, and I don't have to deal with that day to day. I just made sure my brewers got their beer here and arranged the events here in New York. But, it's a big undertaking.
We were talking about that earlier. You guys are the ones that kind of make the trains run on time. You know what I mean? The fact that a beer shows up for something is what is part of what you do. And the fact that that happens, I mean, people don't even think about it. They just show up and they're like, where's my beer? It's like, well, you know, a lot of people work very hard to get this to you.
Oh, yeah. There's many steps along the way. Definitely.
Wow.
Huh. Amazing. Cheers.
Hey, let's pop the beer zell. What's the name of the beer, because I just love this beer.
This one, so Armand de Belder at Drefontainen is known for being a lambic blender. You know, it's been in the family for several generations. But he also enjoys drinking both Franconian-style unfiltered lagers, like the Mars Ungespundent, as well as hoppier ales.
Wait, can you say that again? Mars Ungespundent.
The Ungespundent. It's their unfiltered Keller-style
beer. In two beers, I'm not going to be able to say that, so I just want to repeat
it. In three, you will. So, yeah, so this is the Biersel Blonde. It's about 7% Belgian ale, but generously hopped with the Zatz hops. So you still get the estery, the fruity estery notes from the yeast, the Belgian yeast he uses, but a nice crispness from the hops in the finish. So it's not a cloyingly sweet one.
Is this a brewery? Do they have their own brewery, or do they brew somewhere else?
He did. Then they had some problems with the brewery. There was some flooding. And then now, he was contract brewing or brewing elsewhere. Now he's back to, he's got his own brewery again.
Wow.
That's nice. What about Pedro? What do you think of this beer? Pedro's from Brazil. Yeah. Talk about international festivals and everything.
Ooh.
He came to town for Savor.
Yeah, it was an amazing festival. In Brazil, we're growing a lot from the past 5 years. We didn't have any big festivals, but last year we had about four. Wow. And we were talking about collaboration. We received some big shot guys from U.S., brewing together with some Brazilian brewers. So we have Garrett Oliver a couple of months ago, enjoying making a beer together with some guys from Minas Gerais, Vals, which was a saison with sugarcane. Very good beer.
Wow.
So, I mean, we finally are starting to drink better beer in Brazil. Still hard to produce them because we don't have hops. They don't grow in Brazil, unfortunately, so most of the things we need to import. Hmm. But, I mean, the scene is growing up.
I've heard people say that once Brazil is getting more of a middle class, at some point it's going to be a huge, huge place for craft beer.
I would say from the last 2 years, you can feel it. In Rio, for instance, we had, I would say, about 10 bars that only serve craft beer and small breweries. Until 2 years ago, we didn't have none. So the guys are starting to put some money.
Wow.
We heard about some European, like Mikeller, he went to Brazil. He's planning to open a bar in São Paulo. So, I mean, Stone guys were there also thinking about the same thing. So Brazil, it's increasing a lot.
Tell us about yourself, because you came to New York for the Savor event.
Yeah, I'm a home
brewer. Met you Friday at Jimmy's number 43.
Yeah. I didn't hear, thank you, once again.
That's your talent pool right there. You pulling people out of Jimmy's number 43.
Yeah, I'm a home brewer myself. I'm starting to start a business there, but it's very expensive. I also teach beer sommelier from Damen's Academy, which is a German institute. And they have a second class in Rio. I'm one of the teachers teaching people how to drink properly.
Pedro, let me ask you. Everybody's kind of, who's in craft beer, has their sort of gateway beer, the beer that they tasted the first time that like opened their eyes to craft beer. For you as a Brazilian, was there a particular beer that you drank that you were like, whoa?
Yeah, it wasn't Brazilian, unfortunately, because we usually only had Latin American light lagers. We don't taste like nothing, don't smell like nothing. The first beer I remember having was a Belgian one. I was married with a Belgian lady, so that was my good introduction on a nice world of beer, and it was Triple Carmelite.
Wow.
As far as I remember, it was the first beer.
Did you get rid of her?
Yeah, she got rid of me, but anyway, I kept married with beer, so it's fine. But now I'm growing. I'm an IPA fan. I love hops, and the American hops are the best, not because I'm here, but I mean, I love the smell, the taste. So
do you grow them in Brazil?
No, they don't grow there.
At all?
The weather. It's not South Brazil, if you try, you can do it, but I mean, it's not economical or viable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it's cheaper to import, which is a big problem because if you want to do a beer with the hops that don't usually have all over the world, it's hard to keep a pattern. So maybe you have some batch of fantastic beer, and you want to make it again, then you don't have the same hops, or you need to buy for someone else, so it's those problems we face a lot.
Hey, Jimmy, I think you need to open Jimmy's number 43 in
São
Paulo.
Oh, yes, If you need apartment, partner.
I might never come back. Why not, right?
Dude, I think that would be a great idea.
Plenty of space.
And Jimmy, I think you should be my wingman on every
show. I'm all over that.
This is the Jimmy and Jimmy show tonight.
It's Jimmy Squared.
Jimmy Lubin. Look at these guys. We got an international staff. You know, what is this? I got guys from America, Brazil, and America. That's pretty international.
All international.
All right. We got since 2006 Broadway actors Jimmy Ludwig and Mark Aldrich, and also Justin Squiggs Richardson. They've been doing Roberts, the happy Robertson. Hour, guys. Yeah. Roberts.
That's all good. I can be Richardson for a day.
His next name's Squiggs.
You just call him Squiggs.
I call him Squiggs. Anyways, you've been doing this show, the happy hour, guys, over 250 episodes, and I'm looking forward to this tour you're doing in Michigan and Indiana for Bagger Dave's Burger Town. And
yeah,
you guys will be calling in this summer because we want to keep the updates.
We totally will. And tweet at Bagger Dave's because they seriously are giving away. They're giving away burgers. They're giving away beers. They're giving away tickets to the Michigan Brewers Guild festivals that are coming up in the summer. I mean, some of the best events in Michigan beer. And Michigan's the number 5 state in the union for craft beer. I mean, it's huge. So they're doing all kinds of great giveaways. So tweet them at Bagger Dave's, and they will hook you up. I swear to God.
All right. Well, this is kind of our festival show. We talked about Savor. We're talking about Bagger Dave's. We're talking about the festival in Portland, Maine. And we'll be back in a few minutes with Bill Herlicker from White Birch talking about a New Hampshire Beer Festival on Beer Sessions Radio.
You're listening to Quittin' Time by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network.
I'm Jimmy Ludwig from the Happy Hour Guys.
Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43.
Nice.
And who else is here?
Hi, Squiggs here.
And who else?
Pedro.
Pedro from Brazil.
BR.
All right. And we got a new guy from
Tim
Portland.
Tim Lynch.
Just came in from Portland, Maine. All right. So we're talking about festivals. We talked about Savor. We talked about the Happy Hour Guys summer tour.
Yeah. And you know, the Happy Hour Guys, the reason the show started is that we're both actors, right? And we were trying to figure out a way, how can we drink for free and get free t-shirts and free beer? And so we started doing this show, and now it's kind of taken us over, and it's more about the show than it is about anything else.
So you get free t-shirts?
We get a lot of stuff. We get a lot of stuff. But I was actually just down doing a play in Baltimore, and Baltimore is home to a brewery that a lot of people love called Brewer's Art. And I brought a real special bottle from them that I picked up a couple days ago. Squiggs and I did some drinking down there a couple weeks ago.
Just a little.
And this is a triple that is brewed with green peppercorns. It is a terrific, terrific beer. They do a lot of Belgian-inspired stuff there. And what do you think, Jimmy?
Cheers to that. It is good, and it's kind of peppery.
Yeah,
so jumping up to New Hampshire.
Nice segue.
All right. I'm not as smooth as you. We've got Bill Herlicker. He's the founder and brewmaster at White Birch Brewing in Hooksett, New Hampshire. And we love his beers. We've had him on the show a few times. We've had his beer at Jimmy's Number 43. Bill, you're hosting a beer festival in New Hampshire in July 25th, 27th. So tell us about it. How are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. Good to be back on the show. This is our third year running the beer festival, Southern New Hampshire Brewers Festival. We have it at the brewery in the parking lot under a 60 by 100-foot tent. Just a great time. We invite up to 22 breweries this year to join us. We have everyone from, you know, big guys like Stone, Firestone Walker, Omegang, on down to brand new startups, you know, the nano breweries around New Hampshire and Massachusetts.
All right.
And everything in between.
What about any other? The name of the festival is what?
Southern New Hampshire Brewers Festival.
And what's the website?
SNHBF.com.
So you guys are so tight there in New Hampshire. He was like, it's, what is it? S, what? What's the website? S,
well,
NHBF.
I feel like I'm playing Scrabble all of a sudden. Wait a minute.
I have to dig at you guys in New Hampshire because you guys aren't making good beer. But what other beers do you have from New Hampshire at the festival besides White Birch?
Sure. We have, let me see, we have Canterbury Ales. We have Henniker. We have Smutty Nose. We've got...
I'm a fan of Smutty Nose. That's good. Hey, Bill, this is Jimmy. How you doing?
Good. It's
the other Jimmy. There's two of them today.
Hey, that makes it easy.
Or really difficult.
I got a question for you. I had a question for you. You're from New Hampshire or no? Because I detect a southern drawl. It sounds like you're from Alabama. Can you tell me where you're from?
Military brat. I've been in New Hampshire for, much as I hate to say it, 28 years.
Wow, nice.
Cool.
So.
And what are you guys putting together for this festival? What are you brewing? You doing anything special?
Oh, absolutely. For the night before Brewers Dinner, I had Chef Hennessy and Will over. We brewed a Belgian single, and it's aging right now on black birch.
Ooh. Well, that sounds terrific.
Jimmy, have you had any of the white birch beers?
I've had one, and all I wanted was more. After I'd had it, that sounds really amazing, Bill.
Bill, tell us about how your brewery operations have evolved. Because when I first met you, you're mostly serving bottle condition, stronger ales, and so what's changed? You've been open 3 years now?
No, we celebrate our fourth anniversary on the 28th. We got a big party at the brewery. You know, we've gone from making everything by hand, where I did everything. You know, deliveries, sweep floors, brew the beer, cap, label by hand. Last year we did a major investment in the brewery. We're a 7-barrel brew house. We're 15% automated.
Nice.
Does that mean that there's a, do you hire a monkey? Or like a horse? Do you bring in barn animals?
Actually, we feed a hell of a lot of dairy cows.
nice.
But, we installed a 15-barrel bright tank last year.
Wow. Cool.
In September. That lets us force carbonate one batch or two batches at a time. And that we use with our bottling machine and labeler. We don't have any of those boxers or box palletizers or box assemblers or anything like that. So, the grain is still mashed in by hand, mixed by hand, taken out by hand. I've seen some automated setups where guys push a button. They're like, see this? All the grain's in the dump truck over there. I'm like, oh, man. But we earn our beer for lunch, you know.
Nice.
You work off those calories.
That's what it's all about. Absolutely.
Sure.
What about tickets for the festival?
Belgian wheat wine.
Ooh, that sounds terrific. Hey, Bill, I got a question for you. What about tickets for the festival? What are they going for?
Tickets are $45 for general admission, $60 for VIP.
Uh-huh.
The VIP gets you an extra hour. We cap it at 200 people.
Do you have a special set of tickets here for anybody who calls in here to Beer Sessions Radio?
Good idea.
Maybe a couple of freebies? What do you think? No. I don't mean to put you on the spot or anything, but...
What kind of festival is this, Bill? Bill, you have 200 tickets. Bill, you got to sell more than 200 tickets. Come on. BR, at the festival in Portland, Maine, how many tickets are you selling?
You know, that's a really good question.
Take a guess, BR.
Yeah.
I mean, we like to keep it small. We don't want it to be
500?
Overcrowded. I mean, maybe per session, something like that, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. So 200 people sounds like a nice festival. But, Bill, can't you guys go up to 300?
Well, that's the VIP section.
Oh, it's only
the
VIP.
It's the VIP. That's the extra hour. There's general admission. Yeah. You were soaking up beer with your paper.
Bill, you know, you're on the phone. You have no idea what we're doing in this room.
I'm imagining. Wow.
Bill, it sounds like this festival is going to be absolutely terrific,
absolutely.
Man.
Beautiful part of the country.
Oh, yeah. Well, check this out. We Everything's included. There's no drink tickets. There's no food tickets. I buy all the beer. I buy all the food. We have water bottles, water stations, real glassware to be served beer in. And if you want 10, you know, pulled pork tacos, we cook it on site. There's no canned crap.
Well, that sounds incredibly civilized, stuff. Bill. That sounds amazing. I love it. It's fantastic. I don't know why I'm talking in an accent, but you said civilized, so I decided to start talking as a British person.
Where did Jimmy go?
I don't know. Hold on. Sorry, Bill.
How many people you got in that room today?
Well, you know, all of them are in Jimmy's head.
It's the Broadway actors.
They let the actors in, man. Everything goes downhill after that.
Absolutely. See, they just pretend they're beer guys.
Uh-huh. We're acting.
Nice. You know, one of the things I think is going to be a blast on Saturday, aside from the fact that we've got a cigar tent, too, we brought the guys from Mirac in Massachusetts up, and they're going to be running stillage. Wow. You know, hardcore like they do down at the Cask Fest in Massachusetts.
Wow.
I think that's going to be a real treat for people up here. In fact, demand for the Berliner Weiss has been so far beyond anything I expected. We've got a couple more in the tanks right now, and we're going to do a cask of Berliner Weiss with New Hampshire blueberries.
Squigs, if we start driving now, I'm sure we can get there in at least 5 days.
I can promise you it's probably only on the right roads, it's probably a 5-hour drive from New York City.
Yeah, it's southern New Hampshire.
And if you're in New England, it's closer. So.
You guys might have a hard time keeping people away, is what I'm thinking. This sounds amazing. It really does.
Well, we've sold out 2 years in a row, and last year we turned away 80 people.
Bill, jump off the
fence. We have a max tick count, and when we hit it, we hit it.
Hmm. Bill, hold on. Bill, last thing. We're going to cut out a minute. Tell me that when you got started, and I love your beers, tell me three of your favorite beers that inspired you when you were just starting to brew.
Oh, boy. When I first started brewing in 94, the Chimay stuff, uh-huh. That just blew me away. Guinness Extra Stout, I'm like, holy crap, this is black. This is awesome. Why isn't everyone drinking this stuff? So, you know, I just started doing that. And then second year that Allagash was open, I went up, I visited. There's Rob Todd. He's like, yeah, I'm a full-time guy. There's my sales guy, and we have a part-time office person. Everything was in one warehouse. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. You know, it's a passion.
Nice.
Well, good for you, man.
Hey, are you going to go to the festival in Portland, Maine, Bill, this weekend?
We're not doing the festival, but in September we're coming up for a really cool one that Mac is running.
What's that?
Portland Beer Festival?
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Nice. Very cool.
Bill, it's great having you on the phone. Listen, we're gonna keep chatting, so stay on the line with us, but we're gonna just go off on a side tangent right now. So, Jimmy,
we tend to do that.
Tell
a
us
lot
about
right
this the Southern New Hampshire Beer Fest.
You know what I'm gonna tell
Where'd
you?
Where'd you go to this?
I'm gonna tell you everything about that I know about the Southern New Hampshire Beer Festival. I heard something just now about a cigar tent. Bill, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I love a good cigar, and we have this great shop in town called Twin Smoke Shop. They've brought back the 724 line, and the guys are just great guys. Kurt's a hot rod fan. He's got, you know, a Mustang GT350 amongst various other old iron. So I said, you guys want to come up and bring the cigars and let's do this upright. And they were on board. And
I'm just curious. What do Mustangs have to do with cigars? I'm confused there, but it's okay. Tell me about cigars.
No, it sounds awesome. That sounds great. way cool. All right, listen. Hey, Bill, thanks for coming on, man. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back in a few minutes to talk more about Beer Sessions Radio and other things. All right, cheers. Bye.
You're listening to Favorite Flower by Pamela Royal. Stay tuned for more Beer Sessions, everybody.
you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43.
And I'm Jimmy Ludwig from the Happy Hour Guys.
Heck yeah, and who else?
Squigs from the Happy
Squigs,
Hour Guys.
All right. And before we get to everybody else, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors, GreatBrewers.com. But we're out at Roberta's in Bushwick. We're out here every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. And you can listen to us on archives on heritageradionetwork.org and on iTunes. And don't forget to become a member if you like listening to us. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and become a member, and there's a lot of benefits, but it also keeps this network going. There's some great new interns. You got Eddie, and you got Justin, and a lot of cool people that are working here in addition to our regular staff. So we love being on this network, and we want it to keep growing and thriving. Mm-hmm. And again, thanks to Roberta's in Bushwick for if you ever go to Roberta's in Bushwick, come in the backyard to see a little sound studio in a shipping container, and we're here. We're drinking beer. All right. So we're talking about festivals. We had Savor in New York. There's going to be the Southern New Hampshire Beer Brew Fest in New Hampshire with Bill Herlicker from White Birch. You guys are going out to Dave and Buster's.
I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you the name of this tour. It's Bagger Dave's, but we're hitting three different parts.
Isn't it Dave and Buster's?
Bagger Dave's. But we're hitting three different places. They're calling it the Bermuda Triangle Tour.
Bermuda Triangle.
There's a place in the East Village called the Bermuda Triangle. You know what that is?
Is that right? I didn't know that.
It's Burp Castle, Standings, at Jimmy's Number 43.
You guys are stealing
my tagline.
All right. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
So let's go up to Portland, Maine. BR, you guys, Shelton Brothers and 12%. It's probably one of the cooler. Like, I think this, what we're seeing is these really interesting specialty beer festivals. I mean, the Southern New Hampshire Fest sounds great, you know. And now this is the second year for the festival. We've got a buddy here, Tim Lynch. He just moved to Portland, Maine. Tim, why don't you just tell us about a couple of Portland area beer breweries or bars that you like. So as our friends go up this weekend, where would you hang out in Portland if you like beer?
Oh, that's a tough one. I just got there, and I'm still exploring, but they got a lot of great beer up there. You got Allagash, you got Shipyard, Casco Bay Brewing, and Gritty McDuff's, which looks like a cool place. I've been in there a handful of times, and it's always packed whenever I go past. So,
is that a real place, Grady McDuff's?
It's a real brewery. And there's a great bar up there called The Great Lost Bear, if you've ever been up there. It is a terrific, terrific bar.
So you're saying you just go into the breweries and they have tasting rooms?
Shipyards does, but I've been to a lot of pubs. The restaurant scene is fantastic up there. There's a lot of great places, and they've got a lot of unique food, and they do a lot of good sampling and pairing with the beers.
What are some of the restaurants that you like in Portland?
Oh, boy.
Because all our listeners are going up there this weekend.
Are they?
Give us five, Tim. Five restaurants.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, make it happen. Come on.
The spot.
Yep.
I do feel like I'm on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, how about can I start at a bakery? I guess that's too early in the morning.
Yeah, it's the second oldest profession. Come on.
Excellent.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I would definitely go to Standard Bakery right on Commercial Street in downtown Portland. And then beyond that, flatbread pizza is right downtown. There's a new place called Infinity Brewing and Distillery where they're brewing and distilling right on that location on Commercial Street on the south side. Gritty McDuff's.
Is that a brew pub or what?
It's a brew pub. You know, they've got pretty decent food, and they've got the whole facility is right there, right behind glassed in rooms. People are busy working. It's a great location.
They got a lot of lobster up there.
Lobster.
A lot of lobster.
That's exactly what they sound like up there, too.
It is.
I'm actually very excited. We're going to have a food truck. One of the food trucks we'll have at the festival is called Bite Me Maine,
oh,
I believe.
Yes.
And they have award-winning lobster rolls. So we'll have the lobster rolls.
The lobster. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, aside from, I'm excited to try out Infinity that you had mentioned, because that's new since I was last in Portland. I know we're going to be having some events there. We'll have special drafts there. Novara Res is also a wonderful, wonderful, downtown Portland, a wonderful bar. And then there's,
Otto's Pizza.
And you want to...
Otto's Pizza.
Oh,
we
yeah.
love that.
And you want to take as many opportunities as you can to pair beer with food, right? Because beer pairs with food better than wine does.
Yes, and Jimmy has a good tradition, and Jimmy's number 43 of oysters on Thursdays. And Eventide is a great place for oysters and good beer pairing.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Right. Nice. And Eventide is right next to where the Portland Yacht Service is, where we'll be having the festival.
Oh, really? And how do we get tickets to the festival, Bjorn?
There was an Eventbrite site, which I don't remember the exact address. It's easiest to go to the-festival.us, and then that'll take you to a link to, I believe, I think Saturday day is sold out, but Friday night and Saturday night sessions are still available.
These websites
very cool.
are so complicated. I want to talk to someone from Brazil. I just go to
Pedro.
Brazil, and everyone knows where it is. So, Pedro, tell us the best experiences you've had in America.
Beer, for instance.
So what beers do you like?
It's hard to choose, man. Every time I came here, there's so many different options of new breweries or new labels. In Brazil, we got stuck with pretty much the same guys all over. Now it's getting better, but every time I got here, I feel like I'm Disneyland. Every single pub, they have at least 14 taps. In Brazil, the one in Rio, actually, the one we have most, it's only 20.
How about this? What's the worst beer in Brazil?
It's hard to say. I would say Skin Cariol, and I hope there's no Brazilian guys listening.
Stink Cariol?
Skin Cariol?
Stinky Cariol. They just, it's actually used to be the worst Brazilian factory, I would say, brewer, but they just got bought by Kirin. It didn't get better at all. So, but it
just got bought by Kirin.
But Kirin, yeah.
Wow. What's another really bad Brazilian brewery?
Man, I work with so beer down there. It's kind of tricky.
We can't knock the American breweries. We have to knock the Brazilian.
Yeah, but most of the Latin American light lagers, they don't taste like nothing. But I mean, you have to see that Brazil, at least Rio, it's hot as hell. So people won't go to the beach and drink IPAs for the entire day. So they need something very...
I would.
Tasteless. I would also, but most of the...
Do you know what I drank on 4th of July last year? I had a little party in my backyard. I had Einbecker Maibock. So it was a 6% kind of spring bock from a nice brewery in Germany. And I figured if I got it really cold, it would have enough flavor and be refreshing. And I made it stay cold by I poured one bottle into like three cups at a time. Whoa. So we only drank one bottle at a time. So it was super cold. And that was the best beer I ever had on the 4th of July. Says it's coming up, you know. So I think there's room to grow. I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking a slightly stronger beer or a more flavorful beer when it's really hot out.
No, and more flavor for sure.
I don't think there's anything wrong with preparing yourself for the hot weather and like thinking, hey, I'm going to have this beer, and this beer. Getting yourself ready.
Yeah. I mean, at the festival, going back to Portland, in Portland, let's just say it gets really hot this weekend. They're on the beach. What are some beers that you might like to drink, you know, in a beach seaside community that aren't just lagers?
You mean that are at the festival or just in general?
Well, beers from your portfolio that you could, well, you I mean, could drink in the summer, like
Yvonne
summer beers.
From De La Seine is all about the very flavorful lower ABV beers. Mm-hmm. So any of, you know, sort of the Taurus Bulba, the Zinna beer. Then also we're bringing in the Rittergut's Gosa, which is, you know, low ABV Gosa. Mikkeller has got his Drinking in the Sun, which every year goes lower and lower in ABV. I believe last year was 2.8, and this year I heard it's under 1%. They've gotten it down.
Wow.
Serious. So we have seen beers. I like session beers with a lot of flavor, and they're very refreshing. And you're right, this Taurus Bulba, it's like 4.2% is dry hopped, and there's this beer from Spain that's like 2.9%.
I have to give a little shout out
the
to
the Reiner or something.
Yeah, the Gino Reiner.
That's 2.0, and that's from Spain. So
that's so cool.
I think there's a lot of room to make beers that are refreshing. I even like dark. I found a lot of, you know, 4.4% dark beers or black beers. I think that there's a lot of room to keep it refreshing in a warm country like Brazil. So
absolutely.
I know you're working on it too, because you lied to me. You say maybe you don't know that he has to learn more English, because he says he's a home brewer. Then you show me pictures of this like giant brewery that you're making beer in.
No, but I mean, it's
you're more than a home brewer.
I'm together with a three friends of mine, so we developed a recipe, and we are starting to prepare on a large scale. It's not finished yet, so, but we are thinking about getting inside the market. So there's a lot of bars in Rio. I know most of the players, so there is space for everybody. So we are making an oatmeal chocolate stout now. It tastes very good, and it's not a summer beer, if you would say that, but anyway.
Everything's a summer beer.
Yeah, man, beer, it's for every weather, but we have a very good black IPA from a friend of mine. Mm. And, man, it's perfect. 40 degrees in your head, and you keep drinking that for the entire day. So it's just a matter of changing the people's mind. We are used to, not we, but most of Brazilians are used to very light beer. Now we have zero tolerance driving law.
I'm gonna pitch a book, and we've talked about it a few times. Tom Acatelli, he's a writer, a friend. His book is out. It's called The Audacity of Hops. Mm. If you haven't got it, you should get it.
Great book.
And in America in the 80s, the number one and number two beers, it was like Bud Light and Miller Light. And everyone thought the same thing, that people would only drink that. But the pioneers in craft beer, they fought through it. And look at what we're doing today. It's the same thing in Brazil. I don't think it's the weather as much, because there's people in Florida that are making craft beer. There's people in Texas that are making craft beer. One of the top American craft beer cities is San Diego, which is pretty nice. It's like beach and outdoor. And they drink IPAs all the time. Yeah. You know, Stone, Green
West
Flash.
West Coast IPA, that's where it's
at. Hey, guess what? You're doing the right thing, and I think Brazil is open for craft beers.
Yeah.
And we're going to go down there.
I hope so.
But you have to help invite us.
Yes.
Jimmy's number 43
south. We need a trip. We need a trip to some country. When we first opened one of our first shows, we got in trouble because we talked to a rep from Stone, and we said, you know what? You got San Diego Beer Week coming. Why don't you send us out there? And the rep at the time said he got in trouble from Greg Cook. And said, I'm sorry, Greg, but we weren't trying to, like, squeeze your dime, but why not send us out to your beer fest? So we're going to Brazil. How about that?
I hope so.
I'll put it out. You put it out there and make it happen.
That's okay? Right. That's right. Speak it out loud, man.
Yeah.
Speak it out loud.
And then we can do Dave and Buster's with you guys in Michigan.
Bagger Dave's. Yeah. I have to say, one thing that we're really excited about, we were talking about it before, is that the pendulum swinging back to these great session beers, low ABV beers. I was just down doing a couple plays in Baltimore, you know, the acting thing again, and it was great. But we shot an episode at a little brewery down there called Union Craft Brewing. And they found, this is so cool, it's one of the things I love about craft beer, they found an old recipe book that a brewer in Baltimore, pre-Prohibition, had put together. And they opened this thing up, and it had a barley vice in it. All barley instead of wheat, and they brewed it up as a sour, and it's 2.9%, and it's awesome. It's so flavorful and tasty, and 2.9%. You could drink it all day, and it's fantastic. That. So
hey, well, beer. Tonight we're going to do a tasting with Mars, and Joel Shelton's coming.
Yep, Lederhosen.
In his Lederhosen. He's representing Stefan from Mars.
I'm wearing Lederhosen.
I know we'll have six Mars beers. And I had an eye-opening experience last year, guys. Listen up. Stefan from Mars led a tasting, and, you know, the progression of the beers was very interesting, because he started with the Weiss beer and a Weiss Bock and Bock, and then he went into, they have a beer called Licht, L-I-C-H-T-E, that's only 2.9%, but it has a little bit of hoppiness. So going from, like, the wheat beers and the Bock, it didn't matter the strength of the beer. The point was, once I had that Licht of beer that was only 2.9%, it was so hoppy, the hops exploded in my mouth. And I was like, it's great to taste with the brewers, and that's what I recommend. But what beer are we drinking right now?
This one is the Mars Hell, the Bavarian-style Helles. And this one, I think, is only about 4.9%. So, yeah.
Stop swearing on the radio.
It's fairly sessionable. But, yeah, I mean, they do, a lot of their beers are lower in ABV. Tonight we'll be doing the Pils, the Hell, the Ungespundet, which say that now?
Bless you. God bless you.
Yeah. And also the Gingerbock, which I believe we had a keg of that a few weeks ago at Jimmy's, and this is sort of the...
Yeah, I had it last night. We tapped it, but you know, let's talk about Bock, because these German styles, talking about Brazil, they're so interesting. I mean, you've got just in these lighter lagers, you got the Pils, the Hell, the Licht, the Ungespundet, and then you also have Bock's, and I always think that Bock's dark. Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends on if it's a Maibock or a traditional Bock.
Yeah.
The Maiboks are going to be lighter. And now you're finding Bocks that can range anywhere from being a really deep amber color to a very golden color, even if they're not a Maibock. So that's sort of been changing.
So then it's the double Bocks that are darker usually.
The double Bocks are definitely darker, yeah. But Mars, I mean, it's a family-run brewery since about 1670 in Bamberg. And interestingly enough, I mean, Bamberg is known for being the home of Rauch beer, the smoke beers.
Of course,
the Weiermann malting is there. When you take the train in, you can smell the malt being kilned. It's wonderful. You open up the window, it's like, oh, my God, it's beer.
But, I do that all the time.
They're one of the few breweries in the town of Bamberg that does not make a Rauch beer. All of their beers are a little bit more... none of them are smoked, but like I said, they've got the unfiltered ones, they're unpasteurized, so very, very fresh, and they evolve in the bottle as well because they've got the live yeast cultures in there.
Amazing. Jimmy, I got a question for you. How do you like my lederhosen? Do they look good on me?
I do.
You like this? Is it my color? Pink is not usually my color.
Do you know there's a secret of lederhosen that Stefan from Mars showed me last year?
And I'll let you tell that story.
This is a good story. And hopefully he's listening. So in lederhosen, you don't have zippers and buttons and all that stuff. So you have to kind of stand up and kind of unbutton it from the top and kind of just drop the front of it. Kind of like a pair of overalls.
Uh-huh.
So it's like you got to get out of your overalls.
Right.
You
got to do some work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do the business. So, but.
And there's no like escape hatch in the back or anything?
You know
nothing
what?
Like that?
We're going to say that for the next show. I think that's a video. That's for your video. Happy hour, guys. You should just think about Jimmy Ludwig getting into a pair of lederhosen and having to go to the bathroom at a beer festival.
And that video will get taken down immediately.
Yeah.
Yes. But for a moment, while it's still up, that'll
get
be
a
good
lot
times.
Of laughs. Yes.
Good times.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for coming in. There's a lot of things going on in New York, but there's so many festivals. We'll run through them more time. It's the Southern New Hampshire Brew Fest is coming up in July. Mm-hmm. But this weekend is the festival, Shelton Brothers and 12% up in Portland, Maine.
The Beer Muta Triangle Tour in Michigan.
With Dave and
Bagger Dave's.
And we got Happy Hour, guys. So we can get your shows all the time. You have new shows coming
out. iTunes, Blip TV, YouTube. We're all over the place.
So at Happy Hour.
Thehappyhourguys.com.
Thehappyhourguys.com or at Happy Hour Guys on Twitter.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's do a quick run through everything else. I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Brew Seal. If you like this podcast, give us a good review on iTunes, too. And thanks to BR, Jimmy Ludwig, Squiggs, Bill Herlicka. We got Pedro from Brazil and Tim Lynch from Portland. Thanks for joining me on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor, our engineer Joe Galarraga, Eddie in the studio, and Justin Kennedy, our intern tonight. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Woo-hoo!
All right. Woo-hoo!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.